I'm doing two wonderful things today. I am on recording a podcast and day drinking on that podcast, like morning drinking.
Morning drink, like not just day drinking.
It's like a morning. It's breakfast time,
right? Like we're just doing like a New York City brunch.
We're just it's just no food. Just no, which is a New York City brunch. And then I'm gonna go and day drink at a baseball game.
So. Oh my God, are you going to the Yankees game?
I'm going to the Yankees game.
Oh, that'll be so much fun.
They were like adamant. They like months ago. They asked me.
Got the tickets.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so easy to get there from here.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. Like when I grew up in Texas, you had to be careful about how much you had because you had to get home and like there was always a ton of traffic and
the whole thing.
But here, it's so easy to just drink because you just get on the train.
I tell people that when I pour. I'm just like, you're here for 2.5 hours. You're not driving. Live your dreams. Get
exactly.
a big one.
Yes.
Let's go. You know? I'm going to pour. You say when.
Right. That's my kind of pour.
Sipping on fun time while belting a Bordeaux. Pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Here, Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennis and Tunes. When Beth Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon's, I simply turn to my favorite things, and they are all Tennis and Tunes.
Welcome to Tennis and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Oh, we are so happy that you are joining us for this very special episode.
This very special episode.
Jimmy, this is one of my favorite episodes of the year.
It's mine too.
I get really excited. So today we are doing Red, White, and Crew.
Bum, bum, ba, bum, 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 bum. I'm saluting and you can't see that, listeners.
But he looks like he belongs in the military right now. Just with that salute.
Yeah. Oh,
very
thank
professional.
You. My cousin taught me that.
There you go. Right? So in honor of 4th of July, we are drinking some red wine, some white wine, and some sparkling because blue wine would be disgusting.
One day we got to try an iced wine.
Oh, I do like ice, but ice wine is very different.
Yeah, how so?
It's like you think that it's going to be like super sweet and like Riesling or like Moscato. It is not. It is a little funky.
Oh.
I mean, it's delicious.
I would think it would be like refreshing. That's because it's like, isn't it made of ice? I don't know what ice wine is.
No, so ice wine is actually the grapes have been harvested when they were already frozen.
Oh.
So they like wait until it's like up in the hills of like Germany and Austria. So imagine yourself there, not in this heat. Cool. And they have the first frost of the year. And so the grapes freeze and then they harvest and then press the grapes. And so it's a really, really concentrated juice.
Ooh.
Yeah. And because it's been on the vine for so long, it is usually pretty high in sugar, which means that it's also high in alcohol.
Two favorite things.
Right? So it can taste a little alcoholy. It tastes a lot like a liqueur.
Oh, okay.
Actually, so if you were to like drink a liqueur straight, it's somewhat similar.
Oh, what liqueur would I drink straight? Actually, I think I would drink liqueur. They're delicious.
Well, okay, so do you know my drink for the season, my cocktail for the season?
What is the cocktail for the season?
Floridoras.
What are Floridoras?
Okay, so it kind of goes along with Tannins and Tunes because the Floridora girls were like early Ziegfeld girls because I'm a nerd. There's this actual drink that you put in ginger beer or ginger ale and then a shot of, oh my gosh, what is it? The purple one. Chambord.
Chambord. So ginger ale and Chambord.
Basically, yeah.
Love it.
And then you can throw like some mint in there.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It is delicious. It's so good. I've already tried it, and it's so refreshing and so good.
All right. I think my summer drink is beer.
Oh, I mean, classic.
Have you?
How can you go wrong?
Have you ever had a beer? You put it. start with a glass.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then you take a beer,
uh-huh.
and then you pour the beer into the glass, and then you're done. You've got
beer. You are blowing my mind
right now.
I can't even handle that. That's, and it might be too complicated for me, honestly. That's a lot of steps.
You can put mint in it, or... an orange. I think you could probably put mint. I think. Do you think mint would go with anything?
Yeah, sure.
I think mint might be one of those things that can go with anything.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
A sprig of rosemary in there.
Do you know what somebody did recently, a drink that freaked me out, but I'm really interested in it? Johnny Walker Black and sweet and sour mix.
Ooh. So like a, what would you call that? Like a Johnny Sour?
A Johnny Sour, and you're smoking a cigarette,
right.
and you're all in black and white.
Give me a Johnny Sour. I'm doing that next time I see you.
Bobby wouldn't have to.
In a show, I'm going to go, Bobby. Oh, I love that. Well, actually, you know what my, something that I've been trying a lot of recently, and I've actually been posting it a lot to the Insta stories, has been rosé cider.
Oh, I saw that, like, that place, that team, that I saw a commercial for it.
Yeah. Well, Angry Orchard has a new rosé cider that apparently is amazing. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. But I have been drinking the Wolfer Estate rosé cider that you can get at Whole Foods. I really, really enjoy it. Wolfer Estate does rosé cider. And it's pretty delicious, and it's great because those types of things come in cans or in, like, smaller bottles, and so you can take them to the park or to a baseball game or whatever. Another one that I've tried, Trader Joe's has a rosé cider that's made here in New York from, like, New York local apples, and it's pretty delicious. What I appreciate about it, too, is it's usually pretty natural.
All right.
And so they're not adding a bunch of sulfites and additives in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's delicious. Oh. So I definitely recommend you picking up some rosé cider for your next picnic.
Ooh. I will try that.
Yeah.
I will not have to get a picnic, and now I'll have to get friends. All right. That's a whole ordeal trying to get this rosé cider.
Don't they have those apps, though, where you can, like, meet up with people or, like, find my friends?
Oh, I guess you can do find my friends is not what you think it is.
That's a tracking device.
That's a tracking device. That's not just like, I need friends. All right. But there is like, there's like, Bumble now has like Bumble
BFF. Right.
Where you can like swipe on friends. And Bumble Business, which I want to see if that works.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
But friends I can get because it's, as an adult, it's hard to make friends.
It's hard to make friends.
Yeah. Let's get into wine because we've started down these conversations and we need some wine with
it. They were really sad.
They're really sad. Okay, I'm going to have you
open this
while I bring up my notes.
Oh, the sweet sounds of opening a bottle.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
I should be a Foley artist.
It's actually really funny because I was talking to somebody the other day. I was pouring some wine at my house, and I was telling the secret that I don't really open bottles of wine very well, which I think is why I make you do it.
But, I just have a lot of practice.
Right. But she was like, that's so funny that, like, you study wine and you have a whole podcast about it, but you can't open a bottle well. It's like an ordeal. Like, I have to put it, like, between my feet and, like...
What?
Yeah, like, put it on the ground and do the whole thing.
Well, if I may, this isn't the best
No, it is key. Not the best wine key. No, it is not. But also at my house, I have, like, a fancy one, like, an electric one.
Oh.
Because I got real fancy one Christmas.
I told you about the pressurized ones that my parents have.
Is it the Coravin?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I want one of those so bad.
It's amazing, except you have to discharge a few times.
Yes, yeah.
Or else it will shoot the bottom out of your bottle.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. It's very, very high quality. It's amazing. Okay, so this first wine, which if you look at it, you're like, this isn't really red.
This doesn't feel red at all. This feels like a dark rosé.
Yeah, but it is a red wine. It's made from the red grape Trousseau. So today, our red wine is the 2017 Méthode Sauvage Rorick Heritage Trousseau. The one thing that I want to say is that all of our wines today are from America. America.
Whoa. Bum, 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 bum. That's Auld Lang Syne. Sorry.
Close. So this is from, and most of them are from California, just because, duh. I love California. So this is the Trousseau grape, which is makes these like cherry red wines. Not really like a deep red, but,
okay.
but like a cherry red. Pretty high in alcohol content, and let's just give it a smell real quick.
Interesting. It doesn't smell like it looks.
What does it smell like?
Now it smells like a red wine. Now it smells like earthy little.
But really tart.
Yeah, okay, there we go. That. Yep.
Yep, and like sour gummy candy, kind of.
I smell that.
The winemaker actually has a really funny way of saying this. He says it's dank on the nose like marijuana gummy bears.
Okay, cool.
Which I'm like, that is such a cool description.
That's such
for
a cool
wine.
Description. And like, he's putting his nose out there.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's targeting a specific demographic with that.
I mean, it's California.
That's true.
So Broic Heritage is in California, as I said, and it has 16 grape varietals there. And it's one of the few vineyards in California to have everything that is perfect for wine growing or like grape growing.
Okay.
Like everything works together. They have a bunch of different soil types. They have a ton of different elevations that they're working with. And it all kind of works together, which is awesome. So this is 100% stem inclusion. When they pick the grapes, they pick it with the stems and everything, which we've talked about,
yeah.
Whole cluster. And then is they either walk on them or they will put them through a machine to help press them. And then they use an open top fermenter, which is cool because then all of the different yeasts and stuff from the environment can kind of help ferment the wines.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting. And then the wine stays on the skin until the end of fermentation, so about 2 weeks, 14 days. And then it's pressed and then racked and beat down with a puncheon. So it's, you know.
There's a lot happening here.
So much is happening. And then it ages in neutral oak barrels. But it's bottled, as you can see, unfined and unfiltered.
Oh, is that why it gets this cloudy?
Yeah. It's super cloudy.
Yeah.
So we talked about a wine, if you remember our Shrek episode.
Yeah.
We talked about a wine from the Jura.
Okay.
And it kind of had that, like, funkiness, which is why we paired it with Shrek.
That's still one of my favorite wines of this podcast.
This wine is very similar.
Okay. All
right. Right? So you have this cloudy glass. You have, like, these kind of earthy, mossy flavors that are going to come out
of
it.
Yeah, there are just, like, bits of dust and grime right in it.
And it's done with semi-carbonic maceration, so we might have a little bit of effervescence on it. Let's taste and see.
All right. Good morning.
This is a weird wine. I love it, though.
I love it. You're right. It's a little bit of effervescence. It's like it's like a soda water that's kind of like lost its fizz, but it's got still, like, right at the tail end of its fizz.
Right.
And that finish is a 180 from how you started.
Oh, yeah. Well, and how it smells. It smells a lot more tart and fruity, like fruit forward, than it tastes.
Yeah. Though I'm getting a little tart on the finish.
Right. But right when you taste it, I mean, I also thought that it was going to be more at the front of my tongue, but it seems to be a mid-palate wine, that it's like mid and back.
Right. That's where I'm tasting it. It's really at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Which is awesome. Well, another thing to know is Trousseau, the grape, in Portugal, it's known as bastardo.
Bastardo?
Uh-huh. And it's used to make port.
Cool.
So they took this grape and then basically started making still wine, like wine
yeah.
out of it. And no, not nobody, but very few people in America grow this grape.
Okay.
But it seems to do really, really well for Warwick Heritage. And it's from, well, you can tell me how to best pronounce this place in California, Jimmy.
Is it from... Oh, Calaveras.
I knew if I said, like, Calaveras or something like that, you would be like, no.
That has to be a tradition for every Red, White, and Crew. There has to be a town in California that you mispronounce. And then I go,
I don't think so.
I thought it was Lodi. I thought it was Lodi. You're making them.
Just having in the... You know, just having a good time with all the wine. So this is, yeah, this is pretty incredible. I am a big fan of this already. Definitely go out and try. If you can't find this, try a trousseau to take home with you.
What would you pair this with? That's the thing. I'm really enjoying this, but I'm not knowing what I would pair it with in terms of what, like, time of day or... thing and with like what food like
so I think that the great thing about this wine is I think that it's one of those like early evening wines like if you're having crudité
nice.
I would put this with that. I would put it like basically any type of like appetizer situation going on but I would also put it with like I don't know but this is just me I would pair it with some like chips and guac.
That sounds right.
Like something that has some fat on it. Because this does have a little bit of like roundness to it.
Yeah.
More than you would think. You would think that it would be a little bit more thin.
You're right. This feels like if you are out having a picnic or a night barbecue or something and you want red wine, but you don't want something like heavy.
Yeah. Well, you could even serve this. We didn't do this today, but you could even serve it slightly chilled.
Ooh.
And it would be great.
Okay. I love a good chilled red wine.
Right? Well, and pairing that with, like, I don't know, some charcuterie.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. This would be perfect
with some dead
for picnicking.
Pig. Yes.
I mean,
it sounds great.
You can't ever go wrong.
Dead grapes, dead pigs.
I did see a really funny sign the other day that was like, don't let these innocent grapes have died in vain.
That's so good.
Like, come in and drink our wine.
Yeah.
I thought that was
hilarious. Are they like little like cartoon grapes that are just like looking up at you just like, please?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Yes. Oh, it was
that's
hilarious. But then I also saw it at another place, and I was like, oh, no. Okay, now we're just stealing from each other.
Now, yeah, if your advertisements have to be unique and original. And
right? Come up with your own creative ideas. I was thinking about what musical I would pair this with.
Oh, yeah.
Just off the top of my head.
Yeah, this is great.
I'm thinking it would be like a play with music.
Okay. All right.
Did that make sense?
Yeah. I just can't think of the
only... Something a little bit lower key?
The only thing that I can think of... I know it's not... It's technically a musical, but like, what about Bright Star?
You never know what life will bring. Only what you bring to life. Hopes and dreams and fun imaginings, they happen in their own good time.
Bright
Star work?
Yeah, Bright Star would totally work. Especially because I'm thinking like where this comes from, and I'm imagining like hills and mountains and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of Asheville and the Appalachian Mountains where Bright Star takes place. Yeah, that could definitely work. Oh, I love that musical.
I love that musical.
I'm seeing it actually pretty soon.
Where?
While it's on tour. When I go home.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's awesome. And that's awesome that it's on tour.
Yeah, I also auditioned for the tour not that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to hire me. I am very happy that summer has arrived.
Yep.
Things have slowed down a bit.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's been good.
I've been spending a lot of time, just like researching my city and just like.
I love that.
Finding, yeah, just slowing down.
Yeah,
just,
that's
you know,
perfect.
Just going like, I'm going to hang out in a new neighborhood that I've never been in.
That's so cool. I wish that I did that more. I realize that, like, when I go downtown, I'm like, I don't know where anything is. It's because I don't come down here.
You don't come down here. Have you ever thought, like, I've tried to think about the time, like, how far down I will go in a certain day.
Oh,
and on
so
average,
cool.
It's, like, 34th Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I sometimes right? go to, like, Union Square just because I work there.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I take that back. I go down to 8th Street a lot because
Ooh.
Some good wine is down there. And they actually helped us pick our wines for today.
Oh, what
so
a wonderful segue.
So shout out to Josh over at Some Good Wine for helping the show once again.
Well, thank you, Some Good Wine.
They always have the coolest wines, you guys. Like, stuff that you're not going to find elsewhere.
Like a trousseau?
Like a trousseau.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, while we're finishing up the last of our glasses here.
Yeah.
You've been with us a year now.
I've been with you guys a year now.
I want to hear about...
This is my birthday.
Right? I want to hear about your journey, because I think our listeners get to hear about my journey a lot, but I want them to hear about your journey over the year.
Over the year?
Yeah.
Okay. My journey over the year was, I was, as you know from the first one, like, I was doing my own thing, and out of the blue, I saw you, Jessica, and you came, and you went, come be on my podcast. And I was like, okay. And then it was been the best thing, but I didn't know anything about wine. I didn't know anything. I sometimes feel I don't know anything about musicals when, you know, compared to talking to you about them. And now I've got to meet all these wonderful people through you.
Oh my gosh, our guests are insane.
Are beautiful. I've got to drink all these fancy wines, and I think I kind of know what I'm talking about now.
You do. Do you find yourself talking to people about wine more?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. We were doing this, like, taste testing at work, and I, like, felt very confident to, like, know what I was talking about.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, I love hearing stuff like that.
I mean, I don't think even a year ago I would have been able to say something like, it's tart on the finish, which is...
Right.
You know, it's not like the most complicated thing to say, but...
No, but it's so cool, and it's so neat when you, like, exactly what you were saying, that you do have that confidence, and I think it shows in how you talk about wine, and how you talk to people, and how you connect with people. I think that that's awesome.
Aww,
yay!
Thank you!
Okay, let's start on our second wine.
Da 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 da
da. Da, da, da. So, we have another trousseau.
Yes, yes, yes.
But this is a trousseau gris, which means white trousseau, or gray wine.
That was last year. I learned about gris and grigio and the difference.
Yeah. One is for grandmas, and one is for millennials.
One is for cool grandmas.
Cool grandma.
Great.
This is from Wind Gap, Wind Gap Winery.
Okay.
Which is also in California. It's near Sonoma. I actually got to visit on my last trip there.
Yay!
Which was so much fun. It is from the Fanucci Wood Road Vineyard. It does a concrete fermentation for 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and then is put into neutral French oak and stainless steel. I want to talk about something, though.
Okay.
Wind Gap wines are all foot stomped.
Ew.
No, don't freak out.
Ew.
Don't freak out. First of all, everything, like feet, boots, everything that is put into the grapes has to go through like an alcohol wash process. So everything that goes in is super sterile.
Okay.
But you have to think about it. These wines are coming in with all of this nasty stuff from the vineyard on it.
Uh-huh.
Like the grapes that are put into our wine are not clean.
What? What? This is my final episode of Tannins and Tunes. I will never drink wine again.
So if you're like a true germaphobe, you probably shouldn't be drinking wine because it's not necessarily all that clean.
Great. Cool. That's what you want to tell the listeners.
It's not like it is disease ridden. You will be fine. But
mine has a rat swimming in it, so I don't know about you.
Not like that. Just that, like, the grapes before they're pressed and everything like that, they probably go through a minimal washing period.
Okay.
So, just so everyone is clear. But foot stomping, I think, is pretty cool because it goes back to the Italian roots of wine. And, like, what makes it so special is you getting in there with it. And it's a process
right.
of you and the grapes doing what you need to do to create a beautiful wine.
Oh.
Which
coming
I think
together.
Is so cool. And they say that it's an imperfect process that contributes complexity and depth of flavor.
Okay.
And so it's whole cluster fermented and then crushed gently while keeping the stems intact. They put different yeast varieties. They have the natural yeast from each vineyard site, but also make a cocktail of yeast varieties that create these different wines, mm-hmm. which also is really, really neat. Excuse me. So let's go ahead and smell this one.
All right. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened is Trousseau Gris was really popular in before the 1980s.
Okay.
All around, like in California and in France and all these different places. And it was known as the Gray Riesling.
Oh.
Though it really doesn't have much to do with Riesling. But this is a grape that's native to eastern France. And
right.
it is a variant of the red Trousseau, which we just tasted.
We just tasted.
But what happened was in the 1980s, Chardonnay got really popular. And so a lot of winemakers took out their crops of Trousseau Gris and put in Chardonnay.
Right. Oh, how dare they.
Right? and so I think that we'll get something that's similar to Chardonnay, but already it smells a little bit brighter, a little bit more fruit,
mm-hmm.
apple, citrusy.
A little complex.
Very complex, yeah, definitely. Again, I'm thinking that we're going to get to that Jura
okay.
kind of flavor. Not
yeah.
not as funky, because mm-hmm. it's from California, so we can't get that funky.
Right.
Come on now. It's all white hippies. Yeah. We can't go there.
No. we're going to get so funky.
So funky.
We're going to, like, we're going to roll deep with our inner selves and, like, you know,
and with
rap.
With our green juices.
Yeah, with our green juices. We're going to rap with our inner child.
it's a pretty creamy color.
Yeah.
Like a deep, kind of a deep straw.
A deep straw, maybe even just like a touch of peach.
Yeah, definitely. I get that.
Yeah.
And then what I'm smelling is actually a little bit of that yeastiness or bread
yeah.
dough, which is similar to like a champagne when you smell it.
I see that now. I smell that.
Yeah.
Now that you say that.
Yeah. And it's one of the things that some people have pointed out is that it's the fruitiness is similar to like a really light rosé.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of the fruit that's on it.
Oh, so we're getting everything together. We're getting the amalgamation.
Right.
This is the Justice League of wines. We're a little bit of Superman, a little bit of Batman, a little bit of Wonder Woman coming together.
All coming together.
Yeah. Yeasty Chardonnay.
Right.
Champagne.
Yeah.
I love it.
Let's go ahead and taste it. Mmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot going on.
It's just so complex.
It's crazy complex. It starts each, the start, the mid, the finish are all different.
Yeah. The start, I think, is super fruity, really citrusy. You even get some, like, lemon lime on there.
Yeah.
Mid, I feel like, brings in that, brings just different flavors. Like, white orange, white cherry, and then even some orange in there. And some earthy qualities, like you get that stone in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the end, I'm getting a lot of, like, cream.
Okay.
And bread dough.
Right. I'm getting a little, yeah, it's like, it's, or I don't know if it's like tart or sour or something, like,
right.
At the end.
Well, and it has such a long finish
to
it, which is great, because to me that's a sign of a really, truly well-made wine, is something that lingers for a while. Also, they keep saying, they say petroleum on the nose, which I kind of disagree with, because I don't necessarily get that. But it is very similar to Riesling in that it starts out fruity and that acid hits you right off the bat, but then it mellows out by the end, and I feel like this mellows out a lot.
Yeah.
And it's so much heavier than a Riesling that it also gives you a fuller mouthfeel. Without the butteriness and sometimes the, like, over-oaked wood chippiness of a Chardonnay.
Oh, no, this is bright. This is, this is a little nasty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, it does. It has, like, that funkiness to it.
This is like the Rizzo of wines. And hear me out.
I totally get that.
Do you get that? She a little spiteful, a little spunky, but like a heart of gold.
Yes.
Really sweet on the inside.
I love that. Yes. But looking at it, you would think a Sandy.
You would absolutely think a Sandy.
She's real white.
Right. She's real white. She's real blonde. She thinks nothing. Oh, so this is actually, you think it's Sandy, and then it really is end of Greece Sandy.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. Yeah. I think that what helps a little bit is that the wood barrels that it's aged in are neutral. And so you're not getting that woodness or, in the case of Sandy, the, like, campiness.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think that both with Sandy and Rizzo, it really is about you have to be honest.
Right.
Because if you play the camp of it, it doesn't – it's so sickeningly sweet.
Right. She's not, I never thought Sandy was, like, a good girl, or like a, I don't think she was, like, this sweet, like, cheery peppy. I think she was just innocent, maybe a little naive.
And polite.
And just polite, yeah.
I think that's something that I'm working on in therapy.
Being polite?
Yep. Yes, because I'm so rude all the time.
Yeah, rough. Guys, I cry every single time I finish a podcast recording.
I'm the Jeffrey Tambor of podcasts.
Love it.
Right?
Yeah, you are.
I am.
It's also because you're bald.
Yeah. But just that sometimes politeness can
get in the way. Yes.
But I feel like that was kind of Sandy too, is that, like, she didn't necessarily get to say what she wanted because she was just, like, being nice. But I think with this wine too, that you think it's going to be one way, but once you get out of the way of what you think it's going to be, it's amazing.
Oh, right. I love it.
It's
Tell me
complex.
What neutral oak barrels mean.
So you can get what's called new French oak barrels or new oak barrels, and that is, like, fresh cut from the tree. The cooper makes it into a barrel. You put wine in it, and it transfers that woody quality that gives some wines like a nuttiness or a butteriness to the wine, because the wine like gets in the cracks of the barrels.
Ooh.
And there's like little knots from the trees and stuff like that, and just transfers all of that quality into the wine, which some people love.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see that for Chardonnay barrels a lot. It'll say, you know, 100% new French oak.
Okay.
They're also very expensive.
I can bet.
So neutral barrels are a little bit less expensive because it means that they've already gone through a season or two having been new French oak,
okay,
quote unquote. And so now they are what's called neutral.
Right.
French oak.
Because they've just got everything just washed out of them.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of the qualities have been taken.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they're like, that they need to be retired. It just means that it's not transferring that quality as much.
Mm-hmm. And correct me the character name if I mispronounce it or get it wrong right now. They're the sherry from A Chorus Line.
Cassie.
Not Cassie.
Sherry.
Who's the other one? Who's the?
Oh!
It's not Sherry. I knew it wasn't. But.
Now you're gonna make me pull it out of my ass. hold on. I'm going down the line. I know who you're talking about.
Right.
My friend Casey played her.
Yeah. Oh, listeners, you're so mad at us right now.
Mad.
It could just be Casey.
Nope, it's not. It's not. Hold on.
I mean. It's not Casey, but I mean, like, the neutral oak barrels could be Casey.
I mean, no, because my friend Casey is anything but neutral. it is Sheila. Sheila.
And also, I just said Casey when I meant Cassie.
Gotcha.
Sheila.
Going around circles. Yes, Sheila.
It's a Sheila.
Yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, because, like, the neutral barrels are, like, have been around a while. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. I completely get that.
They're a little bit tired of this.
A little bit tired.
But they're still going to bang it out.
Still going to kick their face.
Going to give a layout for days. Those neutral oak barrels have legs for days.
Legs for days. Yeah, I totally get that.
All right. So let's go to the... We've been doing the wine. We've been doing the barrel characters. What wine? What musical goes with this wine?
What musical goes with this wine?
It's not Grease.
No, it's not. I wanted to like. No, it's not that either. I was leaning towards Boy from Oz, but that's not it.
Okay, it's something starts. I think it's like something that starts sweet and then ends maybe a little bitter.
Yeah.
A little sour.
Yeah, I'm trying to... No, you know what it is? You know what it is?
What?
I think it's Children of Eden.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Discuss.
More complex than you think it is.
Boom. There we go.
Yeah. Lots of things going on, lots of stories that you can grab onto, but it's still approachable.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first thing that you think of when you think of a Broadway musical.
Nope.
But still, also lasting. It's timeless, I feel like.
It is.
That music. I mean, Stephen Schwartz, come on.
Stop
I think it's some of his best work.
Stop it. Yeah. Not you. See his shorts. I do. That man.
Mm-hmm.
That has a predilection towards religion.
Well, and just like big numbers, big production numbers.
Yeah.
I do love Strange to the Rain. Beyond, beyond. Sorry. What is that from?
Live Your Dreams. What do you...
It's from another song in Children of Eden.
My favorite songs from Children of Eden are... what's that one where she's seeing... she's imagining what it's going to be like when she's with the wizard. The Wizard of Oz, and I. Uh-huh. I like the one when Kane sings to Abel about being popular.
Yes. Yes, right before he kills him.
Right before he kills him.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This is what's going to make me popular. Killing you. End of song. Those are my favorites.
I would agree. Though, the Spark of Creation...
Spark of Creation,
might be my favorite,
especially, have you seen Spark of Creation when the lift doesn't work and everybody around them has to go down into the ground during Spark of Creation? We're talking about the same musical, right?
Same show.
Okay.
Or the one with like the guy who like has this back problem where it's like kind of hunched over.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that one too.
That's God, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. If no one has watched the clips from Hunchback of Notre Dame at Fifth Avenue Theater, it's gonna be insane. Yeah. My friend Josh is playing Quasimodo.
Oh, no. That's amazing.
It's so cool. And he is a deaf actor. He and I worked together on a show last year. And so they have him playing Quasimodo, and then they have a different voice playing Quasimodo's voice.
Whoa.
It's so cool.
So
definitely go and check out those clips.
Okay.
Because they'll be out by the time this episode comes out.
Is it coming here?
I don't know. I know that it's going to be in Seattle this summer.
Okay.
But I don't know what the next steps are.
Good. I hope they take their time with it. I think a lot of things aren't taking their time anymore.
I agree.
They're like doing it out of town, and then before they haven't even done the out of town before they've announced the Broadway run.
I do agree with you on that.
You know, and I think that doesn't help improve the show.
Well, and just like with a good wine.
You gotta let it age. You gotta get a gimmick. Just like with any good wine.
I'm always trying to have that synergy. Okay, Jimmy, before we get to our last wine.
Okay.
I have a game.
You have a game?
I have a game.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
That was good. Okay. So
I only missed... The only thing is I missed the guest trying to chime in. they always feel like they're like we're playing double dutch, and they're like trying
they're, like,
to find
trying
the...
To jump in.
Yeah. I can do it.
Maybe we should like actually teach our guests the song before.
No, I love just coming in and just like... Because sometimes they know
Hearing
what it is.
Them.
Yeah, and sometimes they're like, what is this?
And then we can tell who has listened to an episode prior to being on
the
show.
Then we can tell who has listened to an episode and who is our mortal enemy.
So listen to the show.
We're looking at you, Andrea Dotto.
No, we love you. Hold on, I have to take a sip of wine.
We're looking at you, Bruce Springsteen.
Well, when he comes on the show.
When he comes on the show,
I mean,
we'll have to.
We're gonna need like a new arrangement of the song for him.
I love it.
He's gonna need to like pull out his guitar, go to town.
Do you think he knows how to play ukulele?
I mean, I know how to play ukulele.
Oh, okay. A little collab.
Yeah.
A little collab with you and the boss.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I love this.
When he comes on the show.
When he comes on the show.
For Springsteen, come on the show.
Put it out there.
Make the unreasonable request.
Yes.
Okay, here's our game.
I forgot about that, yeah.
So, today, since it is 4th of July, we are going to focus on presidents in musicals.
Okay. Oh, no!
It's going to be okay.
Because literally I was just like, got this. Hamilton. Nope. Not a president. Cool.
Great. Oh, it's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be
a good
one. So
these start out easier and get harder.
All right.
So, question number one. This show tells the story of the American dream through the eyes of the individuals who have attempted to kill presidents.
Oh, it's assassins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding.
You got it.
All right. It's all assassins. Great. Done.
This musical surrounds a play that's being rehearsed that is the history of the White House. It was also Bernstein's last show.
Bernstein's last show, history of a play of the White House?
Mm-hmm. So focus on the White House. It's a musical about the history of the White House.
Oh, my goodness. Is it, it's not Of the I Sing.
No.
Is it the White House?
No. Think of the address of the White House.
Oh, is it 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
That's it.
Whoa, that's a musical?
Yeah, it's a musical. I actually, when I was doing a little bit of research about it, I was reminded that this is what I want to be revived now.
Oh, yeah?
Because it... So what it is, like I said, it's a show that's about a play that's being rehearsed.
Uh-huh.
But they have one white person playing all the presidents,
uh-huh.
and then one black person playing all the servants
oh.
in the White House. And there are, of course, more characters and things like that. But it's a comment on race relations in America that I think is so in our culture right now.
Right.
And something that people are really focused on and focused on making a change in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this musical was a little bit ahead of its time.
When was it made?
I believe it was in the 60s or 70s.
Right, yeah.
Which would be, you know, right on track, but it kind of got lost and it's kind of... The songs aren't great. I will admit, the songs
aren't great. It's Bernstein.
But, well.
It's Bernie.
They have, like, two songs that people actually remember.
Okay.
But I feel like if somebody came in and redid the orchestrations and kind of reworked the songs a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it would be awesome for, like, a 2020 revival.
Huh. We're looking at you, Bruce Springsteen.
Right, Bruce? Get on
Come
it.
Come on, buddy.
Also,
you... are a liar, and you didn't go, they're going to get progressively harder. You went from super easy to the hardest thing. Oh, great. This is going to be fun.
Okay. Here we go. This president makes a second act appearance in an orphan girl's life. Bonus if you can name the other president who even has a song named after him in the show.
It's Annie, it's Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then the other president is Woodrow Wilson.
No!
Oh, no, Herbert Hoover.
Yes! We like to thank
you, Herbert
Hoover.
Yeah, I was singing it in my head. I was like, we like to thank you, Woodrow Wilson. No.
You did it, see?
Here's how I know. Because friend of the pod, Janet Robertson.
Yes, Janet.
We did this show together, like, when I was a kid, my sister, we were all in it, and she played one of the homeless people.
The Herbert Hoover people.
Yeah, the Herbert Hoover people. And she's just, like, chewing the scenery. We have photos of her just, like, yes, and just, like, holding out her hand. She's, like, almost just, like, Evita-ing it up, but she's just, like, dirty and...
I want to see your mother in Evita.
I want to see my mother in Evita.
I need a concert version of Evita starring Janet Robertson.
Hi, I'm Janet Robertson. Don't cry for me. It's okay. Everything's okay.
Here,
don't cry for me.
Take a Kleenex.
Take a Kleenex. You're fine. It's hard being Evita.
Oh,
I'm money laundering. Wah, wah.
I need it, though.
I need it now.
Okay. Question number 4. This show portrays America's 7th president... as an emo rock star.
Yes! This is the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Why did you go out with me in school? You always went out with those guys. It's Buddy Buddy Andrew Jackson.
Yes!
This is my favorite musical of all time that I have never seen.
But you listen to it so much.
I listen to it so much. It lives in my soul.
Yes!
In my little emo soul.
It is so 2008.
It's so 2008. Here's a sad, sad story about it. Was I came to the city. I moved to the city when it was in off Broadway, and I didn't know anything about, like, if you want to see a show, go see a show. I was like,
right?
I had time or whatever.
No, you have no time.
It left off Broadway. I was like, okay, but then it's coming to Broadway, and I went to go do a contract, being like, great, when it comes back, I'll go see it. And it closed before
no.
then.
Yep. Because it didn't last very long on Broadway.
No. Because nobody gets it.
Well, in that vein, I'm going to open this wine real quick in the middle of our game. So we have a wine with a bottle cap.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
I'm going to, bubble.
Bubble, 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 bubble,
it is bubbling up. This is part of our crew for Red, White, and Crew. What, and Crew? I think I did that last year.
And Crew?
What, and Crew?
I still don't understand the title. Am I?
Red, White, and Crew?
Yeah.
Like Red, White, and Blue.
I know the blue. What's Crew?
Oh, it's another name for sparkling.
Oh.
Yeah, which
how
is why we
effing clever
have red, white, and sparkling.
How?
I think I stole it from Pinterest.
That's fine. Yeah, hey, come up with your own original stuff.
I know. I don't do anything original. Okay, so let's talk about this wine really quickly, and we'll get back to our game.
Great.
So this is our sparkling wine, which is the Swick Pinot Noir Sparkling Rosé.
I love it already.
Willamette Valley, or Willamette Valley, depending on where you're from and how you say it.
No. Okay. Beg to differ.
No. Because I really do hear it both ways.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Oh.
I say Willamette, but which a lot of people say Willamette.
Which is Willamette.
Yeah, lots of people say Willamette.
Oh.
It's very strange.
Very strange. They're wrong.
I'll tell them.
Thank you.
Organically farmed grapes from these cooler, higher altitude vineyards. Unfined, unfiltered, no added sulfites. So basically a natural sparkling wine.
Whoa.
Which means that the bubbles actually don't last as long as some other sparkling do. Mm-hmm. Like probably an hour or so, this will start to get flat.
The whole bottle?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's done in stainless steel.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, organic, biodynamic, sustainably farmed. That's something that this vineyard or this winery is really focused on.
Cool.
Is farming sustainably. Works with fruit from both Oregon and Washington, including the Columbia Valley, which is really up and coming right now. Let's see, whole cluster pressed. That's our theme for today. Whole cluster.
Whole cluster.
Whole cluster natural wines are kind of my favorite, if you can't tell. Which is why we're featuring all of them today.
That's good. You don't want to, like, drink wine that you don't like.
Right? Seriously. I mean, that's the thing, because I'm not going to put bad wine in the show. High
acid.
Does. Right? High acid, low sugar fruit. Slow fermentation, and then the wine actually rests on its lee like a still wine does.
Okay.
And then they rack it, and they put in just a little pinch of sulfur to let it keep.
I love it.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and... Oh, and I forgot to tell you. It's actually, after they're hand-harvested, they're pressed into concrete eggs, which is like my...
What?
Yeah, it's my favorite way for things to ferment, is in a concrete egg.
What is a concrete egg?
So you literally, like, make an egg. Like, you know when you were a kid and you made those, like, Jell-O eggs? Did you ever do that?
Sure, yeah, I guess.
Yeah? And were you in the mold?
Yeah.
They do the same thing with concrete... Except the middle is hollow, and so that's where they put the wine to ferment, or they put the grapes and everything to ferment, because concrete doesn't, like we were talking about with the neutral oak barrel, concrete doesn't give you anything into the wine, mm-hmm. except maybe a minerality.
Oh, so that's really Sheila.
Right?
Doesn't give you anything.
Concrete egg.
That's a Sheila right there.
That's a Sheila.
Give you anything.
Let's go ahead and smell it. Oh, my gosh. This tastes like the most amazing rosé. I'm so excited to taste this. It's so fruit-forward, but also has, like, a vegetation and a minerality to it.
Yeah. It's a little... funky is this new word. It's a tiny bit funky.
Tiny bit funky, not like Shrek funky.
Not like Shrek funky.
Let's go ahead and taste it.
Right.
Oh, wow. Those bubbles just coat your tongue.
Yeah. Ooh.
Has a little bit of body to it.
Yeah.
It has flavors of like blood orange, some plum.
I'm getting that plum.
I think for me, it even has like a touch of like rosemary or tarragon.
Ooh. Okay.
And then one
it's
of my...
It's a real Thanksgiving dinner of a wine.
Well, it seriously is, because one of them, one of my notes actually says that it has like a little bit of cured meat in there.
Dead pig.
Dead pig?
Yay.
You guys, this is so good.
This is my favorite of the three.
It is so light.
Yeah. This is, be and careful, this is like, you can drink this like water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's, for me, that's a Pinot Noir Rosé. It's so light
nice.
And just pleasing and approachable. There's actually, I have, as you know, I always have boxed wine in my fridge
uh-huh.
at all times.
Yeah.
They're from BTL, they sell Maison Kubi.
Okay.
Boxed wine, and I love it. And they just changed their, it used to be a, what was it? Like Pinot Noir and, I don't know, some other grape that they made their rosé, and now it's 100% Pinot Noir. I go through that like it's my job. Because you don't notice how much you're drinking
no.
of it, because it just goes down like water.
It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
So good. Could this be the Sandy of... Because you said it's, like, approachable.
Yeah, but I kind of like the other one just because Sandy does have a shift.
She does have a shift.
By the end.
Yeah.
Is
this, what's her bucket who does mooning? Or what's her bucket, that, Freddie My Love?
Yeah. Oh. No, it's the high school beauty queen.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's Frenchie.
It's Frenchie, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's pink.
Because
her hair.
It's pink, yes.
It definitely is Frenchie.
Oh, or it's Gretchen.
From Mean Girls?
From Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Definitely amenable, you know, approachable.
Yeah, definitely.
Trying to make everything.
I get that. Trying to make everything work together.
Yeah.
But still, like, bubbly and sparkly.
George can stay in power. If Regina is the sun, then I'm a disco ball, because I'm just a frightened son. If you had alcohol, I would be a secret doll.
And it's pink.
So.
Well, on Wednesdays we do something.
Yeah. Oh, what is that?
I forgot to wear pink on that for that lotto.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I won, but I had to pay.
Oh.
Yeah. Just like a dumb idiot.
That's okay.
I was.
You still won the lottery.
I still won the lottery. I got to see it. Liked it much more than I thought I was gonna like it.
Good. Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait to talk about.
I had fun. Yeah. We'll talk later, but. I liked it a lot. This has nothing to do with anything, but we were talking about bubbles.
Yes.
And somebody told me about a way to maybe preserve a bottle of sparkling, and I want to get your opinion on
mm-hmm.
it. They put a spoon in it.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
What does that work? What does that do?
It does. Yes and no. It does, because what happens is you have the bubbles attached to something.
Uh-huh.
Because I've seen it done. I do not know the science behind it. Please
okay.
don't quote me. I am not trying to be a scientist in this moment at all. But I've seen it that, like, the bubbles attach. It's like putting a straw in as well. The bubbles attach.
Oh.
And then you kind of, like, and it kind of keeps it a little bit better. I don't do that. I'm very fancy, as I said.
Uh-huh.
And I went all out one Christmas, and I got an actual sparkling wine top.
Ooh.
That it's basically a vacuum sealer
yeah.
for sparkling wines.
Okay.
Which just keeps the CO2 in the bottle.
Oh, I love that.
Impress
that.
But I do remember something about that. Let me, hold on. Let's just look it up real quick.
All right.
So spoon in sparkling.
This is for you, Denzel Edmondson.
Ah, yes. Well, you didn't say it was Denzel. Ooh, fact or fiction. Here
fact
we go.
Fact or fiction. Ooh, new
yeah, that's a new
segment. New segment of the pod. Also, we're still in the middle of a game.
We're going to get back to the game. Hold on.
Fact or fiction.
Okay. So Stanford University chemist Richard Zare says, I think it's a myth. But they did a test.
Uh-huh.
Zare and his fellow testers with 26 hours. They did several bottles of bubbly. Refrigerated them for 26 hours under different preservation methods, some without spoons and some with them.
Okay.
And they sampled and scored the bottles under a blind taste test. And Zare and his fellow testers did not detect any boost in the sparkle of the spooned bottles. And then they did a smaller scale test on Mythbusters and arrived at the same conclusion. So, no!
No!
You're wrong!
It's fiction!
But if it makes you feel better...
Okay.
I guess do it.
Live your dreams.
Zare says at the end of this article, it does say that Zare says that they can remain bubbly in the fridge for days, even without a stopper, if you just keep it cold from the start. So never let it warm up, because that's how.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it says the dangling teaspoon appears to have little to no effect on preserving carbonation. No special stopper is needed.
Huh? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Keep it cold. In fact, never let it warm up. That's the secret. Carbon dioxide is more soluble at low temperatures, so cold liquids retain their dissolved gas better.
Cool.
So now, you know.
Da-da-da-da.
Okay, let's get back to the game.
Let's get back to the game.
Number five. Despite the show being male-heavy, the showstopper is left to this president's wife, Martha, who explains her love for her husband, who'd woo her not by speech, but by music.
Is this Hamilton?
Nope.
Oh. Which I have not seen. Oh, is this 1776?
Yes!
Yay!
Of course it
Sorry.
Is!
Sorry.
Who is Martha the wife of?
George Washington.
No.
What?
Nope, he actually isn't in the show.
What?
They just read his letters.
Martha, Lincoln. Obama. Fitzgerald. Is it JFK, not Kennedy.
1776.
I'm thinking of the guy I have is in my head, the third president.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson.
Yep, that one.
Literally was like, in my mind's eye, Thomas Jefferson's face was there. And I was like, yeah, John F. Kennedy, right? That's John F. Kennedy, right?
Number six. This musical was a thin veil for JFK's presidency. The story of a mythical world ruled by King Arthur where goodness reigns supreme.
Camelot.
Yes.
Camelot.
And actually, Jacqueline Kennedy is known for saying, do not let it be forgot that for one brief shining moment, there was Camelot, which is a line from the show.
What? She said that?
Mm-hmm.
Where? When? Huh?
Right after his assassination.
Oh. Like, yeah. Right after, like, bang.
Like, bang.
Ah!
Do not let it be forgot. Seven. Name the presidents in Hamilton.
Damn it. George Washington.
Yep.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
Aaron Burr was never president.
Nope.
John Adams.
I'll give you that one.
Is it John Adams Jr.?
Nope.
Okay. Obama.
There you go. Good job. James Madison.
James Madison was not a president.
Yes, he was.
That's wrong.
No, he was president.
All right.
Well,
no, I agree. I'm just being.
I'm gonna double check here.
Just being butthurt that I didn't know.
Fourth president. Fourth president of the United
States. He was the fourth.
Yep.
I thought John Adams Jr. was the fourth, or was he the fifth?
No, because it goes George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison.
And then John Adams Jr.?
I guess so.
I guess. Okay.
Number eight. So this musical...
I'm the president! Bloody interjection. Yeah!
I will warn you, the next two questions are hard.
The next two?
These are for our musical theater nerds out there. Not that you're not a nerd.
No.
So this musical takes on FDR, the incumbent president, using comedy and satire. It's a 1937 production, and it also has the distinction of being the first Broadway musical, perhaps the first Broadway show ever, to feature a sitting president as the main character.
Is it Of the I Sing?
No, actually, so Of the I Sing has President John Wintergreen, who is not an actual person.
Damn it!
But I do like that you're bringing that up, because I do love that show.
It's a good one, yeah.
Of the I Sing, baby. She will make corn muffins, she will make corn muffins. I know that show way too well. There's also an Of the I Sing 2.
No, there's not. Yes, there's not a sequel to Of the I Sing.
Yes, there is.
The I Singer.
Wait, it's called, I forget, hold on, Of the gross. I Sing. Hold on, I just have
this
to look
sounds
it up.
Like Saturday Night Fever, and then the sequel to Saturday Night Fever, Staying Alive.
That's kind of basically what
Do you
it
know
is.
The sequel to Saturday Night Fever is? What's his Bucket's character? Is now a Broadway dancer in a show called Satan's Alley.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That seems dramatic.
It's dramatic. Directed by Sylvester Stallone with music by Frank Stallone.
That's a fun time The Of the I Sing sequel is called Let Them Eat Cake, by the way. But it still does not answer the question of the 1937 musical about an incumbent FDR.
Is it called The New Deal?
Nope. It's called I'd Rather Be Right.
What?
A book by Moss Hart and George F. Kaufman.
Never lyrics, liked those two.
Lyrics by Lorenz Hart and music by Richard Rodgers.
Gross. I love it. Oh, and now I want to hear this so much.
I know.
So badly.
So everyone go look it up.
It sounds like the most beautiful. Also, like, I love Lorenz Hart so much because he was just
an alcoholic.
Yeah. And the saddest sack.
He was a sad sack.
He was a beautiful.
He really was.
A brilliant artist and the saddest sack. And wasn't he, like, in love with
Richard Rodgers? I don't know. I do not know that.
Yeah.
I do know that he had a very heavy alcohol problem, which is why Richard Rodgers eventually just retired of his partnership mm-hmm. with Hart and started working with Hammerstein, is because he was just like, I can't get anything done when you're not here.
Right.
But Lorenz Hart was so brilliant that he would just write something up in, you know, an hour.
Right.
And then go drink.
Oh, and he's probably drinking because he's in love with Richard Rodgers.
Well, if you listen to My Funny Valentine and you just think of the saddest person in the world writing it, it really is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Definitely, I could definitely go on a tangent about beautiful. My Funny Valentine. It is heartbreaking.
Let's do that. Let's have a show. Let's have an episode like that.
Just about one song?
Or maybe just about a person.
About a person? Oh, I would happily do that. It is my MFA dream.
Yeah.
Actually, we had to do that in our MFA at San Diego State. Our first semester, we had to do a hour and a half long presentation on a composer. So mine was Jerome Kern.
Very nice.
And then we had to do an hour and a half presentation on a decade in musical theater.
Oh, very nice.
And mine was the 1920s. Which, you know, all good musicals came out
in the 1920s. All good musicals came from the 1920s.
And then our second semester of history, we had to do three 30-minute presentations on composers. So I did, like, Adam Gettle. Who else did I do? Oh, Bublé and Schoenberg. Oh, and then I talked about the 1990s.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which, actually, the 1990s was pretty killer for musical theater.
It kind of was.
It was. Well, I believe, and granted, I could go on literally an hour-long presentation mm-hmm. about this, was that the 1990s were a turning point for musical theater here in New York because of the transformation of Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
And I
probably.
Literally
we
go
can keep
on
going on. But we're still playing
the game. Okay, last question.
Oh.
This musical follows Teddy Roosevelt and his relationship with his spunky daughter Alice during his tenure in the White House.
It sounds familiar.
I'll give you a hint.
Give me a hint.
Name of the two characters.
Teddy and Alice?
Yes, that's it. You got it. That's the name of the show. So Hal Hackaday.
I hate this.
I know. He wrote the lyrics. John Philip Sousa wrote the music.
No.
And there was additional music by Richard Capp.
Imagine. John Philip Sousa
wrote a musical.
I am Teddy, you are Alice, and we are relatives.
That was it. I do have a bonus round.
Okay.
Can you name the president's wives in the First Lady's Suite, written by Michael John Lacusa?
No, because I don't even know the First Lady's Suite.
Great. Okay, well, for our musical theater nerds out there, if you can name them and send them to me,
we'll give you a bottle, or we'll name the bottle after you.
Yeah, we'll do something cool for you. We haven't decided what it is.
Yeah.
But for a bonus round, you can either tag us on Twitter or send me an Instagram DM to Tans and Tunes, or send us an email at tansandtunes@gmail.com and don't look it up on the internet. I will know. the wives who are in the First Lady's Suite.
And then we'll pair wine with you. We'll give you a sticker or something.
Yeah, it'll be something cool. It'll be something really fun.
Yeah. Did we, before we wrap up, did we pair a musical with this?
Did we do that already? Didn't. We did pair a character.
Yeah. What's the musical? It's not Mean Girls.
Mm-mm.
Because Mean Girls is a little more.
No, this is more classic.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to my brain was Carousel, simply for that was a real nice clam bake. But I don't think that's it.
I don't think, no.
But it also could be just because it's on the brain.
This is a little hard. This is a little lighter than Carousel is.
You know what it is? I think it's Sound of Music.
Is it Sound of Music? Ooh. But what about the Nazis at the end?
This has some tartness to it.
But just right at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right at the end.
It's fun. It's effervescent. It's bubbly. It starred Carrie Underwood. And
no. We do not speak that name.
And then there's Nazis at the end.
And then there's Nazis at the end.
Right at the tail end.
Yeah. I think that if you go with a classic Rodgers and Hammerstein, nope. Take it back. State Fair. This is State Fair.
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
Oh. Come on.
I know. It's hard when we've had three wines today.
That's true. We've had three wines.
And it's very early in the morning.
It's very early in the morning.
But that's how you do it here in New York City.
Jeez.
The greatest city in the world.
Da, 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 da,
da. Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me, I don't know, because we've had three wines. You can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to follow us at Tans and Tunes on all the things.
Yes.
Send us an email at tansandtunes@gmail.com. So for this month, because it is July, and especially July 4th, one of the things that's really near and dear to my heart are animals.
Yay.
Like Abel the cat.
Oh.
And fireworks tend to displace a lot of animals because they get really scared and they go and hide. And so our charity for the month of July is going to be the ASPCA.
Oh. That's
so
beautiful.
Definitely get your reviews in on iTunes and Stitcher, because then we can, A, pair a wine with your username, which is so much fun.
It's the best.
And B, that we can donate $1 towards the ASPCA.
Yeah. If you don't review us, you don't like animals. That's it. That's how it works.
Or Abel the cat.
All right. Do you know what? You don't like our mascot?
Right.
What if we can get an actual mascot of able to catch, like, a person suit, like, at basketball games and stuff, but of able to catch,
yes.
I would totally go around in it.
I did just see the other day they will make a shower curtain with your pet's picture
gross.
On it.
Gross.
I need it.
I know.
I don't even need a shower curtain, but I need it.
I love it. I hate it. I love it. Here's a thing you don't want.
So they can have Abel the cat in their house.
Here's a photo of my cat staring at you while you're naked and with water pounding on you.
Wouldn't everyone love that?
Sure.
You're getting one for Christmas.
Yay.
Thanks, friends.
Bye. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
Okay. Buying a credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
I have my own washing machine.
What will you have, though, to keep clean?
Skyscrapers bloom in America. Cadillac bloom in America.
Boom in America.
Lots of new housing with more space.
Lots of doors slamming in our face.
I'll get a terrace apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
Life can be bright in America.
If you can fight in America.
Life is all right in America.
If you're all white in America.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.